Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Jumu'ah Mubarak Amma Ba'd A'udhu Billahi Min Ash-Shaytan Rajeem Wa min ayatihi A'udhu Billahi Wa min ayatihi An khalaqa lakum min anfusikum Azwajan litaskunu ilayha وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ صدق الله العظيم الله the mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the reading from Surah Rum, chapter 30, ayah 21. And an expression of it is, and of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them, and he placed between you affection and mercy, and indeed in that are signs for people who grasp the thought. From the traditions of Islam, this story comes to us. One day, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, visited his daughter-in-law while his son Ismail wasn't at home. Ismail's wife had never seen her father-in-law before, Abraham, and on the first occasion, this was his visit when they met at Ismail's house. Abraham asked her, "Who are you?" She said, "I am Ismail's wife." Abraham asked, "Where's your husband, Ishmael?" She said, "He's out for a hunt." Abraham asked, "How's your family life?" She said, "Oh, we live in difficulty and never have time for leisure." Abraham said, "Fine. When your husband comes home, send him my regards and tell him to change the doorpost of his house." She said, "All right." When Ishmael returned home, his wife straightway told him that an old man had come by to visit. Ishmael asked, "Did he ask you about anything?" His wife said, "He asked about our life." Ishmael said, "What was your answer?" She said, "I told him that our life was hard and that life is always in agony and that we are never free." Ishmael asked, "Did he say anything else?" She said, "Yes, he did. He asked me to send you his regards, and he asked you to change your doorpost." Ishmael said, "Actually, that was my father. He told me to divorce you. Now go and live with your family." So Ishmael divorced his grumbling wife, who was so ungrateful to God, and that she shared their marriage secrets with another person, even a stranger. So after that, Ishmael remarried, and on a second occasion, Abraham returned to Mecca, which is where they lived at the time, to visit his son and his new daughter-in-law. They also had never met before. Abraham asked her, "Where's your husband?" She said, he's not home. He's on a hunt." Abraham said, "How's your family life? Hopefully everything is well." She said, "Alhamdulillah, we live happily without any insufficiency." Abraham said, "If that's the case, that's good. Please," she said, "please sit and have a meal. Let me serve you." Abraham said, "What are you going to serve?" "Well, there's some meat, but please let me serve you something to drink first." Abraham prayed, "Oh Allah, bless them and bless their food and their drink." And Abraham said, "All right, when your husband returns, send my greetings to him and tell him to keep the doorpost." When Ishmael came home from his hunting, he always asked, "Did we have any visitors?" Ishmael asked, "Did we have anyone to come while I was away?" She said, "Yes, there was an old man who had a good look and a good manner, just like you." Ishmael asked him, "What did he say?" He asked about our condition. He said, "Well, what did you say?" "I said that our life is good without any insufficiency, and I asked him to have a meal and something to drink." Ishmael asked, "Did he ask you anything else?" He said, "Or did he say anything else?" He said, "Yes. He gives his regards to you and asks you to keep the doorpost." Ishmael said, "Oh, is that so? Actually, that was my father, Abraham. And when he said, keep my doorpost, he meant that you are a good wife and that I should keep you." And she said, "Alhamdulillah, thank God." This story is appended to the verse 14, that is chapter 14, verse 7, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And remember, your Lord caused to be declared in the public, if you are grateful, I will give you more. But if you show ingratitude, truly my punishment is terrible indeed." So, mashallah, we'll continue today with the subject of the woman. The subject of the woman. And what we're actually walking through is Surah Al-Inshirah, which is chapter 94. Of the Quran, which A'udhu Billah, he says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَدَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَّا رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. صدق الله العظيم. Now today, mashallah, we are only going to deal with maybe, probably even the first three words of the first verse. Some of it I said. I'm sorry. I'm struggling with my my phone for my notes here right now because it didn't show up on my iPad the way that I prefer. But in any case, this is the 10th segment on it. So looking at the beginning of the verse, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. A question. أَلَمْ. That A is what you call a particle, a question, a particle. أَلَمْ. Have we not, نَشْرَحْ, have we not expanded for you your breast, صَدْرَكَ. That is the breast, which is, we're not going to actually get to that today. But we're going to focus on, because the idea is understanding that the woman is a sign, the woman is an ayah, the woman is a symbol, the woman has been created in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates much good through her, to put it lightly. In fact, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says this life is provisions and entertainment. And he says the best of provisions in this world is a righteous woman. This is what Allah's Messenger, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said, is a righteous woman. And I could spend a lot of time talking about what's the problem with not getting that. I mean, for both the women and for the men. If women don't get it, they have a special set of problems that relate to her because she doesn't get it. When we as men don't get it, then there's a special set of problems that relate to us because we don't get it. And then when we get together, because we don't understand each other as creatures of Allah and what that dynamic should be, then again, we don't get the benefits from that. So the time we're spending is so that, come on, let's get the benefit of our reality. Let's get the benefit of our existence. So working with those first words, alam nashra, alam nashra. The root word for this is sharaha. Sharaha, that's the root word for it. And sharaha, it brings in the idea of comfort, the idea of relief, the idea of pleasing, that is to comfort, to please, to relief, to relieve. This is inside of the word na. The na is a pronoun, it's a attached pronoun that says we, and that's Allah speaking in the royal we. Have not we, sharaha, have we not? You can take it as expansion, that's how it's usually done so, but Allah is also saying at the same time, haven't we relieved you? Haven't we comforted you? Haven't we made things easy for you? Alam nashrah laka sadra. Haven't we brought pleasure, comfort, relief to your heart? And that's because, as the history and life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the verse that's actually, these verses, these surahs are seen as being revealed together. وَالدُّحَى وَلَيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَعَقَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. To the end of that verse, Allah goes throughout that verse saying, didn't we find you astray? Didn't we find you orphaned? Didn't we find you poor? And changed all that. So these two surahs are seen as coming together because God says in this one, in the center of it, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. So God is saying, yeah, all that happened. That happened, but we changed it, didn't we? That happened, but we changed that, didn't we? That happened, but we changed that, didn't we? So this is Allah saying, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. That's the nature of life. The nature of life is there's difficulty and there's relief. You don't get one without the other. And then right after the first statement of it, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, comes the second one, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. So it's cyclical. You're going to get some difficulty, but right there with the difficulty is relief. But also, right there with the relief comes another difficulty. But then right there with that difficulty is relief. That's life. So you should understand, looking for a time when there are no difficulties is futile. It is futile. Sometimes each period, and you know, certainly the difficult times always seem longer than we want them to be at all, you know, and that's natural. And the pleasantries, sometimes we forget all about the pleasantries when the difficulties come. But we need to set our mind, that's what we're saying, we need to set our mind in verse, that's life. That's life. You'll be more at peace when you have that. But let's stay with the idea of what does this have to do with the woman. The sharraha, and then you have sharraha, you have mashraha. The mashraha is the operating room. Mashraha is the operating room. And then the sharraha has to do with all the things we just described, comfort, relief, pleasure, etc. And to be very clear in the connection between this and the woman, and these are some things that I am actually repeating that we've said before, but repetition is the mother of learning. The idea is shurayhun and mashrahun. These are Arabic classical terms for female genitalia. For the female genitalia, sharrahun, shurayhun, and mashrahun, those terms are there. So the point is, are we justified in making the connection between the female and this particular chapter? And absolutely, absolutely, that is the case. So, in al-Islam, or in the Lughat al-Arabiyya, in the Arabic language, you have ilmu tashrih, the science of anatomy, the science of anatomy, ilmu tashrih. So you should hear inside of that word is the same root. Sharraha is in the same root. Ilmu tashrih is the configuration that, from which we get that same, that is, we, that term is drawn from the same roots. Okay? Now, ilmu tashrih, this science of anatomy, is what has to be read. Science. I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to go slow, and I'm looking at my clock here. Okay? Science. Right? We know that the English language is a constructed language. Some people call it a bastard language. It's a constructed language. Very consciously, the English language has very consciously been constructed to hide and reveal secrets of the people who are the masters of that language. And I'll speak of two of them right now. First, I'll give you the rule. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, taught us that wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. If you look at a word in English and there's a silent letter in that word, there's a secret in it. Since we're talking about the woman, then we're just gonna stay with that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be three at the throne of Allah. The three at the throne of Allah is the trust, the Quran having its implicit and explicit meaning, and the womb, such that whoever joins with the womb, Allah will join them, meaning that keep them connected. And whoever separates, then Allah will separate them. Womb has a silent letter in it. It's B. Nobody says womb. Womb has a silent letter in it. Why? And even when we say woman, we say woman. We say woman. Right? The A-N is a suffix. So it's really just, like you say, American. The A-N is not really a part of the base stem, the base word. It's just like English, Englishman, or some other A-N ending. The message is this, that there's a secret in the woman. And that's what we've been trying to figure out, isn't it, brothers? What's your secret? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a mystery for a reason, because to keep us looking, searching, working, trying to get it worked out, and that's what makes everything go forward. Believe it or not, civilization as such is because of our success at that thus far. So there's a sign in the woman. And so when we talk about the womb, and then you talk about shuraihun and mashrahun and the connection with the feminine and ilmu tashri'ah and the connection with anatomy, these are the things, these are the signs that we have to read out. And as I go forward, the word itself, signs, I want you to understand, Muslim, that when Allah says in the last reading, in the last portion of 30:21, which we opened with, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَيَاتُ لِكَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, He says, surely in this are signs for those who grasp the concept. Surely in this are signs for those who get the thought. So much of what is not happening in the lives of Muslims is because Muslims don't know how to think with the Quran. Because we don't know how to think with the Quran, you by default, you think with what the world has given you. And the world will not give you what will make you powerful in the world. So let me move on without, you know, getting on that soapbox right now. So signs, S-I-G-N-S. Do you know how to spell filet mignon? Filet mignon, right? It's a joke, but I like to say it off the tangent. It took me years. I was a grown man before I knew that word I was looking at on invitation was hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres. I would always say, you know, horse divorce. Horse, you look at the way that it's written, horse d'oeuvres or horse divorce. I would just say horse divorce, right? But then one day, a grown man, oh, that's hors d'oeuvres, right? Filet mignon, how you spell that? M-I-G-O-N. How do you spell sign? S-I-G-N-S. Okay, so the signs, so you got a silent letter already. You got a G. The G is a silent letter. But even going on top of that, when you add the mignon, M-I-G-N-O-N, the nyan, the G-N is giving you the nyan, mignon, right? Okay, well, let's take that and roll it over to the sign, S-I-G-N-S. And what do you come up with? Science. Science. The sign is in the science. The science is in the signs. If you can't read the signs, you can't get the science. But if you can read the signs, you'll recognize that the science is in the signs. If the woman is a sign, then we need to understand her science. When we understand her science, that's when we can get the causes and effects that we would like to see. And vice versa, it's the same for us. It's that created mate of like nature. She has a nature, we have a nature. I am speaking as though separated, male, female, a men and women, me and them, or us and them. But the fact is that's how we have to understand it. She has to understand herself. She has to understand us. We have to understand ourselves. We have to understand her. And we have to, both of us, with the science of our reality, cooperate. Like, you got to ask it, how come stuff ain't working? Man, every time she do it, every time he do this, when they don't ever, I'm just imitating what I know you've seen. Because I've been there myself. I wasn't birthed new into this way of thinking, right? It's 52 years as far as marriage is concerned, and then a couple before that. The point is, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's a work in progress and forever. For those of you looking for, man, when is that going? Then when did that party? It don't. And it's all good. Because that's life. What are you looking for? An artificial life? If you're looking for something that don't include that, you're looking for unicorns and whatever, pink frogs or something. I don't know. So here, as we conclude this portion of the khutbah, the science comes from grasping. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse that we opened with, He said, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَيَاتُ لِكَوْمَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Surely in this our sign, meaning the muwadda, the love, the rahmah, the mercy, that's going to come to the ones who grasp the concept. You're not going to grasp the concept until you read the signs. And you're not going to get the benefit of the signs until you apply what you have read in real time. That's what is required. That's what we're speaking to. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Okay, so more instruction than editorial, inshallah. I try. ألم نشرح. ألم نشرح. A question. Lam, negative. Na, attached pronoun. Na, we. Shara. Alam nashara. Have we not? All right. Have we not? What's going on in that grammar? A part of what's going on, God is asking a question. It's a rhetorical question. What rhetorical questions do is, particularly in this case, when it's asked that way, I used last time, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? It's the same construction. In the English language. Are you not entertained? So what is it? It's a rhetorical question where the expected answer is positive, but it uses negatives in order to get the positive. Alam nashra. Have we not? Nashra. Have we not comforted you? Have we not relieved you? Have we not given you a pleasant life? Right? Have we? So you have the positive and you have the negative right there together. All right? That's our reality too. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah reveals doesn't just start when you get the first quote-unquote word in a manner of speaking. That is the message sometimes. So you just read it, you just read the word and then you say, okay, this is what the word means. This is it. Well, in the construction itself is a revelation. This is what we're speaking to. The very fact that God asked with a rhetorical question. And then when you get the science of the rhetorical question, which says it is a negative that is in anticipation of a positive, in an expectation of a positive. In fact, the one who's asking the question already knows the answer, and they already know in this case that the answer is affirmative. All right, so God said, "Alam nashala." Okay, so what does that say? Inna fi dhalika layatu liqawmin yatafakkarun. Excuse me. Surely in this are signs, and now you know signs mean science. Surely in this is a science for those who grasp the concept. Fiqh. Fiqh is concept, also translated as thought. So in the fidelika la yatulikum yatafakkarun. So what is the sign? What is the science? Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not expanded for you your breast? Now, we're not talking about the breast. Just stay right with the idea of the positive and the negative. The positive and the negative. Mathematics. Let's stay with the grammar first. So this alam nashra is stating a positive from a negative. In mathematics, negative times a negative is a positive. Somebody has heard the statement, Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam, and you can prove it in no limit of time. Somebody knows about that. Islam is mathematics. So in mathematics said you can take two negatives and get a positive out of two negatives. You got a negative husband, you got a negative wife. You can get a positive relationship out of that. You can get a positive marriage out of that. I know there's a joke in there, but it's true. And inshallah, if I continue, I'll be able to say more about that. But let's stay with a little bit with the grammar. This is also alam nashrah, like I thought. This is also called the imperfect. It's called the imperfect tense. In your message in that? I'm imperfect. She's imperfect. But from our mutual imperfections, we can bring each other to higher orders of perfection. If I know how to deal with her negative, and she knows how to deal with my negative, we can get a positive out of those two negatives. That's what most of us don't have the patience for. You are always negative. Well, if you get a little more negative in the right way, maybe we can get a positive out of this. Right? Yeah, our bank account balance is negative. Do something about that. Maybe I'll be positive. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to give her no ammunition, brother. I'm just saying. You know we can't pass up no joke. So, any case, so we're imperfect. In the imperfect, in grammar, is the present and the future tense. The past tense called perfect. The imperfect tense incorporates the, it's the feature that gives us our perfect and, our present and our future tense. All right. So let me tell you, you have to embrace this. Please, you have to embrace this. In Arabic, in Quranic Arabic, the future is imperfect. The future is imperfect. What's that, what does it mean? It means it's not perfect. What else does it mean? It means that it hasn't come to pass. And how do you get the present and the future tense in Lughat al-Arabiya? You get it by making it. You have to make the present and the future tense. This is a part of what we haven't yet embraced. How much power we have to create our own future. Okay. Let's see if we can get one more step out. In the Quran, there are two things that are mentioned very much the same thing. I'll just mention the chapter and verse and then I won't elaborate on it, but let's just give you the idea, because that's the goal. The goal is to get the idea. Surah 2, it talks about fighting. And the person, the believers, the Muslims, are being told, it said, you dislike it. Fighting has been prescribed for you, but you dislike it. And then God says, it may be that you dislike a thing through which he brings about a great deal of good. And very similarly, in Surah 4, Ayah 19, the chapter of the women, God says, you may take a disliking to your woman, but it may be that you dislike something through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. So here, both in terms of fighting and the woman, and literally say, so then you talk about fighting with the woman in that sense. Definitely we abhor physical violence, anything like that. But we do have these things we call arguments, right? So it may be that, we don't like to, I hope you don't. Yeah, we don't like to argue. We don't like to fight. But it's a part of the process, right? And you say, I don't like it. Okay. No, you're not supposed to like it. But, in the other verse, the 2:16, it says it may be that you love something that you should hate and that you hate something that you should love. So the idea and our attitude about it is what has to be corrected. We only have a couple of minutes here. We'll say this, that, okay, you have fights, quote unquote. I'm about to change that script. There's a difference between arguing and fighting, right? But first you need to find out if you are, in fact, arguing. Understand this. Stop calling them arguments. Call them negotiations. They are negotiations, whether you like it or not, call it that or not. That's what it is. Because one is trying to get something from the other, and the other is trying to get something from the one. But we're doing it in a heated way. We call those arguments. But no, we're just having a heated negotiation. So somebody in that argument has to decide, wait, I need to realize, you know, let's just say it to them because you're going to mess it up. Just to yourself, say, okay, it's not an argument, it's a negotiation. So all I need to do is figure out, well, what is it that we're negotiating? And stop thinking about it as an argument. Okay, she wants something, I want something. Okay, what is it she want? What is it I want? Now you can start being you, whoever has the power to do that, you can start being more rational about this interchange that you're having. So first off, stop calling an argument. Recognize that it's a negotiation. Okay, now, once you're clear about that, set that aside. The idea now is, what's the difference between arguing and fighting? Because you should not be fighting. The fighting that the Prophet, that Allah revealed in the Quran, is talking about literally fighting with your enemies, literally, physical, whatever you have to do. But when it comes to relationship, you don't want to have fighting. You don't want fighting. And I'm going to tell you how you know when you're fighting. How do you know when you're fighting? You're negotiating when you're saying something that has to do with this, what I want, what she wants. As long as you're still talking about whatever that might be, okay, you're having a negotiation, quote-unquote, argument. All right, fine. Keep working until the negotiation gets settled, okay? But when it stops being a negotiation slash argument and becomes fighting, this is how you know. Because when anybody says something that's not designed to advance the negotiation, but only can serve to hurt the other person, now you're fighting. You're no longer negotiating. You're fighting. So it's over at that point. So don't go there. Okay? Now, I have to say, since I've left it a little bit hanging on the issue of the negative. Listen, there are some things about men that women don't like, wives about their husbands that they don't like. That's okay. And sometimes those things are things that are natural for the man. Part of them are aggression, control, ego, etc. Those are natural man orientation, and sometimes they get out of proportion. When they get out, they're in proportion, they're good because they have a role to play in protecting and building society, family, etc. It's good. So you need to have some aggression. You need to have some control. You need to have some quote-unquote sense of yourself, etc. That's fine. You have to have that. But when it gets out of proportion, now you go out of bounds with controlling and ego and acquisition, blah, blah. All right, sister, on the other side, you have a neurotic proclivity. You have a proclivity to be sensitive to the negative. You have a proclivity to be sensitive to things that make the situation insecure. You have a sensitivity, and that's a part of your mother instinct. That's a part of the mother nature. That's a part of the feminine nature, because it has a function and a role to play as well. But it can get out of proportion. And when it's out of proportion, then it comes across just totally toxic, like with that. And I don't subscribe to the whole toxic masculinity, but there are things that are toxic. But to conclude, the idea is that man without a woman, in many times, that's how things get out of proportion. Because if he connects himself with a woman, then she's going to help keep that in order. She sets some boundaries that if he responds as a man to the feminine as he should, if he does as he should, then that's going to be properly balancing, containing, quote unquote, and putting a socializing limit on that. I hope I'm not getting too academic for you, but I'm trying to get finished without leaving you fully blank. Okay, the man does the same thing for the woman in terms of providing her, well, if being neurotic is having something to do with the negative, having something to do with insecurity, etc., when a man acts as he should, then that damps down her fear, anxiety, distrust, insecurity, etc., that brings out all that other kind of anxious behavior. But if there's no man there, then those things get out of proportion for her. And so that's why in many cases you have the exaggerations among single men and you have the exaggerations among single women. And then these exaggerated individuals can't seem to get together because everything's out of whack. So women have to work with women on the grounding of true nature, and men have to work with men on the grounding of true nature to help them recognize, look, this is what you have to do to get back in order, and then that becomes a more fruitful situation. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يعيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو علي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces, we thank you for your blessings, we thank you for your guidance, we thank you for your forgiveness, we thank you for your mercy. Oh Allah, show us the way. Show us the way of Al-Islam, show us the way to live properly as men, and to live properly as women, and to live properly as husband and wife, and to live properly as a community. Oh Allah, bless us to understand and to find our balance. Oh Allah, bless us to strengthen ourselves over and above our weaknesses and shortcomings, and bless us to be a mutual blessing to each other in service to you. We bless you only for none can grant our hopes but you. Amen. Allahumma amin. Wa alaikum assalam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. The brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning with Universal Master Leadership. We just aired yesterday's recording from Masjid Orasim, part 10 of The Woman. And, alhamdulillah, I'm still feeling very comfortable that there is a patience with the process of going through that. So it's like, so far we've dealt with the first three words in the surah, Surah Al-Isra, we haven't touched on the biology of the science of reading that sign. But inshallah, so I pray your patience continues. I know just to give an example. Somewhere in this, maybe an apology unnecessarily so, but I feel the need. Dr. Yasser Qazi, a very excellent scholar, he has a series on the Sirah of the Prophet, and I think there's more than 125. You can say that it's just, well, that's the Sirah of the Prophet, but the reality is there's a universe of knowledge in the woman and in the man, actually in all of us. But the cornerstone of our success is the woman. Take it, leave it, don't matter. Just look at what he is. You'll get an understanding. You tell Allah what Allah's grace. Got to get that straight or nothing else is going to be straight. It's the cornerstone. So, inshallah, we keep going. So, hang in there with me. Be patient and conscious. All right? So, alhamdulillah, always we want to hear from you before we go on and carry on the notes. And I see you stacking up. I appreciate that. Protocol still applies. God's peace. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience, Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say, alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And once again, just have to commend you on a part excellent cookbook once again. You know, Imam Shoaib, as I listen to this khutbah, I see the building expanding and adding more and more, but I see the foundation even also expanding at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like you're just scratching the surface.
Right.
But such a big thing. In terms of speaking about the woman, as you so eloquently articulating her as a symbol, but also as a sign, you know, as a sign, and being able to read the sign and using the Quran and also using Sahih Hadith of the Prophet in terms of the significance and importance. And if we don't get that message, we're going to miss it. We'll miss the... what actually can come to us as a community and as a ummah in terms of actually being able to establish that in terms of God's will and plan and design, as he has in his creation, has embodied much information that helps to give formation to the life that it is that we all desire to have. One last comment real quick, in fact, it is in my 3 minutes here, is that I really appreciate, I'm not saying that you're a wordologist, but I do think imams, when they can articulate in a scholarly way, and I consider you to be one of the scholars, you know, in Association Imam W.D. Muhammad, and I'm saying that I'm defining scholar as our leader, this fine scholar, as he was talking to a good brother and friend Imam Kazem Ahmed Rahimahullah, in terms of saying to and referring to Imam Kazem as a scholar, and just his humility, oh no, brother Imam, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a scholar. Imam turned to him and kind of pointed at him, said, yes, Kazem, you are a scholar. Scholar is not one who learns and just repeat what they learn. Now he's given us Imam W. Dane Muhammad's definition of scholar. A scholar is one who learns and who improves upon what it is he has learned. This is how I'm reading you and your khutbahs, your presentations, your lectures. You're one who learns and improves upon that, and you utilize even other material, reference material, what Allah blesses you with, you understand, to become a resource in that. And what I mean by that is that you change the language. Language words make people. You change the language from fighting, argument, to negotiations. Oh, boy, that's a game changer when you talk about relationships. And I remember one last thing. Some time back, you had a presentation on communications, and I think this is vitally important. You use the acronym DIE, D-I-E, D-I-E,
yeah.
A desired internal experience. I connected that with what you're saying, as you said in your khutbah. You have to understand and realize that's a desired internal experience, even in the negotiations, what it is you want and the other person want. So this requires empathic listening, to be really, really truly listening, being in tune with the thinking of that person, but also the sensitivity, how they're feeling, how they're expressing that and all. I could say a lot more, as you well know, but I probably went over 3 minutes, so you can get me for that. But, I had to say that. Allah put that on my heart. Thank you. And may Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, as always, Brother Mark. Very rich contribution here. Thank you. 510-689, I have a question, but I haven't heard that for a while. Who's calling? Go ahead. 689.510-689, push 1 on your phone so you can close your mic because you got your hand up like you have a comment. But I'm going to go on since there's no comment there and move it along. All right. So before I move on, anyone else has a comment that they'd like to make? Alhamdulillah. This is Bash Ali. Assalamu alaikum. Come on now. What y'all doing to me? Is your mic muted? Do you have something to say? 510-918. Do you have something to say?
Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. It's me, Brenda, Sister Brenda.
Yeah, I thought it was you. I was hoping it wasn't an accidental.
That wasn't me the first time. That was just me.
No, that wasn't you. No, 689.
Okay.
I got your number, literally and figuratively.
Of course, I enjoy and need, and my soul needs the kupa. It was excellent. And I'd love to hear the story about Ibrahim and change the post. It's just so compelling. And also, love a thing that's bad for you and hate a thing that's good for you. Just hits home in terms of keeping my perspective on things. My other comment now is, I can't see you on Blog Talk and on YouTube. Are you there today?
I am, and I avoided. Now, yeah, I have people who check
you.
I
can't find you on YouTube, so I'll keep fooling around and try to find it. But I'll stay on the line.
I have a couple people who have commented on YouTube, and I see here there are people who are logged into YouTube. So maybe you might need to reload your
and go back in again. Okay, but I will say
that one of the reasons I don't play the music on the Facebook, you know, others why they warned me about, you know, playing stuff on my phone, and I've tried to follow their what I thought was their policy. So we usually don't come on until a few minutes after the other. In any case, yeah, okay. Here's someone. Someone saying, okay, he says, yeah, I'm watching YouTube presently. That's Brother Ishmael. And Brother Melvin, he says, you are visible, Brother Imam. So there are people saying, yeah, they we're good on YouTube so far. All right.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
I really love that chicken and potato salad and that you all knew provided for us after June. We got to get that 1-2 point continuously.
Oh, for those in the Bay Area, Yolanda's cooking again today. More chicken, more potato salad. Come on down to the basket, inshallah.
Yeah. So we have the flea market going on inside. Well, flea market, I don't know, yard sale. the yard sale, but it's indoors because we got a lot of good mercy from Allah in the form of rain coming down periodically. So we're inside. And then we also have a good old fried chicken lunch, dinner, however you want to do it. Come on through. So we'll be there. And also others, since we're talking about this, the Muslim movement, so we can get out, keep our flexibility going, or come on through for that too. 12. All right. Thanks, Brenda. All right. 510-689. I'm about to check out from paying attention to the dashboard on Blog Talk. So now 510-618-9. If you have a comment, push 1, go out, push 1 again, come back in, and then I will open up your line. Otherwise, I'm really just about to be out. All right. So what I'm going to do is share with you the actual notes that I was reading from, because again, talking about food, you know, sometimes, you know, the leftovers can be just as good as the original serving. And this is what I expect to do generally on Saturdays is, okay, I come to the table, if you will, calling Juma on the table, with a certain boundary, a certain level of material I want to cover. Mashallah, inshallah, if I get to cover it, fine, but sometimes I don't get to cover all of it, and that's what I bring to the Saturday broadcast. Those of you who can see the screen. These are the notes that I use. And actually, this is going to be the framework for others who are structuring their own material. This is actually, for now, this is the framework that I'm going to use to work my way through the whole chapter. There's a heading where you start with the verse and then the key terms. Let me go ahead and I'll do this live. So then you go to looking at key terms, and then you go to the masdar, right? Masdar in our language is when we say alam nashra laka sadrak, it just happens. This just happens to be that. It's not for that reason, but this is just an example. Masdar. So you can see sadr or sudur. You can see the same root that from which we get heart or breast, the way that the verse is sometimes translated, masdar. So it's the heart, right? So the masdar, the heart. So what is the heart of the word? But in our epistemology, let's say, it is the masdar. Some people say the root, right? Let's go ahead and just learn the lessons that we need to learn, because you have to have this. You have to have this background. And don't think that everything is universally subscribed to in every definition. You can open up Arabic books, and one will define it this way, and another will define the same thing in another way. So in a certain way, you know, labeling and definitions, they are social constructs, meaning that they're useful for, you know, digging up that is bringing out or abstracting useful information. And as I'm sorry if I have to use it this way, but I want to abbreviate my time, where it says there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? You hear that language, more than one way to skin a cat. Now, don't nobody be skinning cats, but you get my point. It's even like that statement is useful. It's a social construct. It's a proverb, right? That, okay, it's not about skinning cats, actually. It's about knowing that there are a variety of ways of accomplishing something that you're trying to accomplish. So they just put in that abstract verbal package. Okay, Mazda and everything else, they have the same potential, you know. Listen, you have the imperial system, which we use here, and we have the metric system that's used in Britain, right? But what are they measuring? They're measuring the same stuff, but different labels for that. Let's move on. Mazdar for us is the same in terms of that. So even though Sudur is the heart, is there, some call it root. Well, for us, the root of a word that we often say, the root of the word, like fa'ala is to do. So, okay, the root word is fa'ala, some say that. Base stem works for me better to separate that. Base stem. So the fundamental three letters, and yes, there are quadrilateral letters. We got that. But the main ones is they're three-letter, quote-unquote, base stems. And you use those to find words in the dictionary. But Mazdar goes deeper than base stem. So you don't say fa'ala, I don't say. You don't say fa'ala is the Mazdar or to do is the Mazdar of fa'ala. No, the base stem, fa'ala, is the base stem. That's where you start to abstract or to get or to find meaning in the dictionary, which is not the final say of the meaning of a word. So the other thing, Mazdar there, what is Mazdar? Mazdar is what does it speak to in nature? When you find where it first touches in nature, right? Then that's where you begin. And so when you find that word, so you look at a dictionary, take for example, Lane's Lexicon, right? Not a quote unquote religious dictionary, but it's one of the others now. There are scholars like Progressive Chief Colleen Martin, my brother that I always interact with. Dr. Zayed Abdul-Karim, and I'm sure there's so many others that use the other Arabic dictionaries. I'm talking about reading of us, mashallah. So I'm just trying to find easy ways to say stuff. So in terms of the quote-unquote, the dictionary of nature, all right, the dictionary of nature. So you take the word, and then you look into that word. I have found Lane's Lexicon to be a place where, you know, just keep working your way through the columns of definition, whatever they might be. And what you want to zero in, or what I zero in on, let's say, is, okay, what phenomena of nature is connected with the base stem of this word? Okay, so you have the base stem, but then what phenomena in nature does the base stem connect with? So if you find that, you have found, in my view, the Mazdar. If you find where does that base stem, those three-letter roots, and all of their different definitions, doesn't matter which verb form or whatever, where is it that you find something rooted in nature? You usually find it in form one of it, in any case, most times. So when you get that phenomena in nature that's connected with the base stem, you have found, inshallah, the Mazdar. Now, just so happens, in even what we're looking at right now, Mazdar itself is a perfect example of what we're talking about, right? So, the Mazda, we say Sudur, right? Sudur. And then you also have in that Sadara, you have heart in that, right? So the base then leads you to the words please, comfort, and relief, right? Please, comfort, and relief. Don't all those relate to the heart? To please your heart, to comfort your heart, to relieve your heart, right? So that's the Masdar. So the Masdar for this Sharraha and also this aspect, this feature, this nature, this quality, this product of the heart. So it's about the heart, right? The Sharraha, it's about the heart, right? And, all right. So after the Mazda, so you draw the meaning. You draw the meaning from that Mazda. So the core of the meaning is there, right? Okay, then you also, these things, you know, sometimes they come together, sometimes they come in not in any necessary order. I wind up doing this little graphic organizer to make it easier to go in and do the process, But all these understandings, all these ideas didn't come together. You create this framework so you can make it easier to do verse 2, right? So verse 2, I know the first thing I'm looking for, what are the key terms in verse 2? What is the Mazda of those key terms? Okay, what is the science as it relates to what we're delving into? You don't have to just lock in to Mazda's meaning, et cetera. But there are things that are going to come naturally as you pursue it, and you see how they fit. So now you want the science of it, right? And then you have hadith, because all the other matters related to the Quranic terms, the Quranic key terms, and then the meanings / Mazda of those key terms. And then you want to also get to the science of those terms as it relates to those terms. So you got that. And then the reason that this right here, for example, I put the idea of the science, the hadith, blah, 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 is because I wanted to explain, and we did in the khutbah, I wanted to explain a working understanding of the word signs and how Imam Muhammad, I mean, I call him the key maker from that Matrix series. Whenever the key maker was in there, that was just a symbol of Imam Muhammad for me. I'm not necessarily saying that they were consciously thinking of Imam W.D. Muhammad. But I'm just saying that it just worked, because that's exactly what he does. He creates keys, and all we got to do is use the keys that he has, and it opens the door. Oh, there's a whole other world back there. But I'll go ahead and say this, since I've done that, that in that movie with the key maker, he said it wasn't just the key that, you know, just opened the door, and what was there was behind the door anyway. No, it was the one who was holding the key. You can take the key, use the key, put it in the door, but what's going to affect what you're going to see on the other side of the door is the one who used the key. So the one who uses the key, in a manner of speaking, creates. I know there's a lot of philosophy in what I'm saying, but I'm saying it's like if you have the wrong mindset, when you use a key, when you open a door, you may not find what you think you're looking for. All right, so just think about that verse in the Quran where it says that those who kindle a fire, but then the fire that they kindle take away their sight. I think some of us may have seen in recent times someone who's so damn smart, and I say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, asking for Allah's protection, even as we speak. It's like you can think you're so bright. You get so bright that you wind up being blind. And all you got to do is just listen to what you're saying after your brightness. You see, there you're now talking about Lucifer, you know, son of the morning. Your star has fallen. All right, Fahim, let's go. So in terms of that, so after that, you do the science.
And again, I say I stopped here in the khutbah because of the fact that we really need to understand the reality of science in our dispensation and in our the system that Imam Muhammad has given us. You need to understand what is the reality of science. Was what in the real? And the reality, I'm talking about the haq, and the reality of science is the signs. So one of the most potent capacities that we need to develop, if we want to leverage what we've been blessed with, we have to recognize that the sciences is the signs, and learning how to read the signs is how you get the science. That's it. If that's your interest, then you have to be more whatever. You have to endeavor more to acquire that skill set. We can embrace no knowledge except what Allah allows, but you have to start. Okay, let's move on. So hadith, and I put Quran squared here because it's saying, okay, this is Quran that's secondary to what you started with. So we're dealing with verse 1, and so what we're searching for to fill this out is the answers that fit for the first verse. But in the course of that, there are going to be other verses because everything in the Quran is interconnected, hyper-connected, hyper-linked, as you might say. Okay, so you don't ignore clear connections between one set of verses and the verse that you're working on. So you incorporate that. But as you see here, my recommendation is just incorporate it as a footnote, and you have to be cautious about not getting distracted and going on to that river. You started on the Mississippi, now you wind up on a whole nother river. It's like, oh, okay, well, what was I talking about before? But you're too far gone. And I'll tell you, you know, maybe sometimes it feels like this, but if you're following my scale, it's not what's happening with me, what I'm speaking of right now. It's called perseveration. Perseveration. Not persevere. Perseverate. So sever, when you sever something, it gets cut off. And ation is the outcome of a process. Perseveration is, you know, like you first you're in a truck, then you go on a branch, then you want a limb, then you have another little limb, and you forget where you started and where you're going. And that's perseveration. So to avoid that being quote-unquote perseverated, it's footnote. So you identify that. Okay, I'm just following this as a footnote. Our main point is still the same. Nashra ala nashra, like I said, that's what we're talking about. But this is all connected. So you give the hadith. I give the hadith. Everybody else does it their way, right? And so hadith and any related Quran to the verse that you're talking about. So here comes this phrasing, which was the focus of the whole khutbah, alam nashra, alam nashra. So that's actually what's in the verse. Okay, but now there's a message that's coming from that, and we'll go ahead and say it a little slower now from what we said in the khutbah. It's a positive from a negative. It's a positive from a negative, right? So this is a subtopic. This is a subtopic inside of the main topic. All right? And the main topic is, when you see a nashra, sharaha, the main topic is the pleasure, comfort, relief, right? And so that's the inside of it. And now, since we're talking about in the context of male-female relationships, you know, the woman, right? And we're talking about the woman in relationship to the man and the woman as a sign of life, right? If you haven't made note of that and you're looking for, okay, what's the main thing? The woman is a sign of life, the woman is a sign of life. That's really compact, right? And true. She is a sign of life. How so? Very simply, all living human beings came from a woman, right? And even the biblical label for Eve, and there's a whole other story we know, but the biblical label for Eve is she's called Eve because she's the mother of all living. The mother of all living. That's Bible. And so in this understanding, you can understand why we could, it affirms our statement that the woman is a sign of life. So I can say the Bible says the same thing, right? And Allah has said what he said to bring that to our mind is that all of us come from the womb, right? And so therefore, so she's a sign of life. Okay, but now drilling down, so it's saying when you understand the grammar, these are things that you have to understand about the nature of the grammar, because the grammar is what makes language language. Grammar is what makes language language. Not trying to dump too much on you, excuse that term, dump. But I'm also thinking about, okay, when are you going to have a chance to say this part? Because this is something foundational to be able to do what you're doing. Grammar, the power and the significance and the importance of grammar. And look, I'm talking to you 40 years in as an imam, okay? So I'm talking 40 years in as an imam, right? And so it's like I have accumulated these fundamental knowledges over those decades, right? So I'm saying if you want to get to getting that understanding on your own, because there may be something else that and should be, no doubt, something else that you're trying to understand the depths of. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Maybe you're a medical student. Maybe you're an engineer. Maybe you're a lawyer. Maybe you're just trying to be a better mother, grandmother, grandfather, father, husband, whatever. You need to understand what does God have to say about this endeavor that's critical to your life, right? And so sometimes when I'm taking all these stutter steps, these hesitation about some things to touch on it, sort of like it's for the benefit of those who know I'm really trying to use this al-Islam to make my life be what I want to be or what God would have it be for me. I really want it to be that. And I'm just trying to tell you that these are the kind of things that were for me that you need to know in order for your life to be that. All right? And I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, okay, moving on. So I said it's grammar that makes language language, right? Do your own thing. It's like because we got AI, we got ChatGPT. So it can give you a real quick another one, perplexity.ai. You need to check that out too. I'm telling you tools that you could use so you don't have to spend 40 years. You don't have to spend 40 years getting to the knowledge of it. You don't have to have 100 dictionaries or get to the point where you say, oh, okay, well, this dictionary will do this, and that one will do that. This one won't do that. This one won't do that. You don't have to do that as much now because you've got a long way to go, short time to get there as it stands, and God has blessed you in your time, us in our time, to have tools to do that. So I'm saying, for example, if you typed into ChatGPT or Perplexity.ai, Perplexity.ai will give you references that you can go to, meaning it will show you the quote-unquote the article online or the website or wherever you can go to get the drill down, the unpacked version of whatever your question is, Perplexity.ai. ChatGPT will, it'll give you something that you got to ask more questions. And if you got time and interest to do that, that's fine. But I think Perplexity.ai will do it for you faster, save you some time. And so therefore, I'm saying, you could type in this question. You said, what is the difference between human language and animal language? Human communication, what makes human language versus animal communication? What's the difference? Now, whatever you find, let me tell you what I have found. And that is that the difference is a a symbol system governed by grammar. A symbol system governed by grammar. Animal communication, there's no grammar in animal communication, and it's not language because it has no intermediacy. It is all immediate. That is, if an animal communicates something, it might scream. It scream, ah, 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 right? So other animals know there's a lion over there. We got to get out of here. The animals, they get that, right? But it's because of something in the immediate environment. If they see some food or they see some other thing that's positive for their life, there's a sign and a symbol and a statement, or a physical sign, pointing or looking in a certain direction or what have you. Those are signs, but they relate to something immediate, and there is no grammar for it, right? But when you talk about human beings, human language is not governed by the immediate, right? Human beings can talk about things that are not present and can communicate ideas from the past and communicate ideas about the future. And again, there's a way that has to be said that makes it past, present, or future, whatever. So that makes the grammar, all right? The symbol system is having to do with, you know, alphabetic literacy, where you're talking about A's and B's and C's or alpha, omega, whatever. Those are the symbols, right? But then those symbols have to be brought together according to a grammar. And when they're brought together according to a grammar, then someone who knows the symbols and the grammar, they can get the meaning that has been packed into that symbol construction called a sentence, right? All right, so the point is that's how this is why you should be in classes with those who speak your language. I'm talking about your ethos language, right? I listened to the khutbah, you know, and there were a couple of places where I said is, but it should have been are. And then there's some other kind of grammatical thing, you know, I won't even call it Ebonics, but you know what I mean when I say that. Yeah, it is what it is, but you knew what I said. So that's because we speak the same language. It's a beautiful thing coming. We'll have a chance to say about it. Okay, so, all right, so I spent that time because in just that phrase, Alam Nashra, against the background of the background frame that we're pursuing, and say, what does this say to us about the woman? That's the torch that you're going into the cave with, right? That's the light that you're focusing on. The thing that you are searching for, the thing that you want to see, is what does this say about the woman? So when you take your light in with you in that, you're only going to, you spotlighting, okay, what does this say about the woman? What does that say about the woman? Now, somebody else who comes into that same space, they're looking for something else, and inshallah, they will find it, because what Allah reveals is universal. What Allah reveals is universal. So it's like, that's not the only thing that it's talking about, but if you go in with a particular frame, searching for a particular understanding, and then your further justified language from Imam W.D. Muhammad, the word is edification, right? So it's like, all right, you already know what you're looking for, and reasoning is inference making. So once you get a layer, when Imam talks about edification, say, okay, first you have a foundation that's based on something real. And then the next thing that you put on top of that is something that's based on that, which was originally based on something real. And whatever you put on top of that has to be fitting for the foundation that you're starting from. And then you follow the next. And all that, brothers and sisters, is inference making and reasoning. And he says, when you finish your construction, you'll have something that's understandable to rational people. Right? So it's like, Each base you lay, they say, okay, now the next thing is that before you confirm and put that thing in place, you know, are you justified in doing so? Is it reasonable that you do that? All right? And it's reasonable that you, okay, that fits, and then you go to the next thing. And it leads you, inshallah, to a conclusion by reasoning. Okay, but you stick with your you stick with your first frame, and don't leave the base that you're on. Don't go all the way out to the left and try to force that to relate to this. No. Every link is justified by the firmness of the previous link. And that's what we're doing with this. So therefore, you don't have to always look back. Oh, okay, let me make sure this connects. Because it's coming with you. Somebody's understanding what I'm saying. I pray that. And I trust your intellect, your heart, your sincerity. And you should make dua, ask Allah or Allah give me clear understanding of this. Because I'm saying, if you get it, I'm praying Allah bless you, make it clear. But I'm telling, if you get it, the Quran is a different book for you. The Quran is a totally different book for you. Because do you have stuff you need to do? Do you have stuff that you need to be relieved about? Do you have stuff that are making you uncomfortable and you need to become more comfortable? Do you have things about which you are displeased but you want to be pleased about? Well, the Quran is the answer, but you got to know how to read it and not just make the sounds, letters that the letters say to me. Let's move on. Okay, all right. Thank you for your patience. So, alam nashra. Okay, so now then you get into the grammar of this situation, right? At harf al istifham, right? It's a interrogative particles question. Just the letter Alif or Hamza, whatever the case may be. So, whatever, question. Lam, negative, right? It's a particle, negative particle. And then Neshra. Neshra is, Na is the attached pronoun, this Na in the beginning. And the Sharraha is this right here, this root. Sharraha is right there, Alam Neshra. Break it apart. You say, so you have a question, you have a negative, and then you have what is stated there as the verb. The verb is the action of the we did. And so what that is when you drill down, it's a rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question, all right? And a rhetorical question is a question that's asked, and the one who's asking is expecting an affirmative answer. Didn't I tell you that was going to happen? That's a rhetorical question, right? Because they already know the answer. The answer is, yeah, I did tell you that was always going to happen. Okay, so that's a positive from a negative. So you have a negative, like I said, LM. That's a positive that comes from a negative. So you have a negative question with a positive expectation, a negative and a positive. So that's all you need to know. I say, you move on. So you got this relationship between the positive and the negative. Big deal. I would have to go all the way back to what we said before, that the woman is a sign. The woman is a sign of how all of us, males and females, even the woman looking at her own sign, when she understands her own sign, she still has to live the way that her sign reflects. Her reality, she's living in a female body, and she is the sign, right? Good. So I had an example I was going to mention to you. I'll tell you what. So there's a series of Netflix, whoever, I don't know. There's a woman, her whole body is tattooed. Her whole body is tattooed. And when it opens up, she's found on Broadway in New York in a duffel bag. When they open up the duffel bag, the woman is naked and covered with tattoos. Right, so all the series are made up. All the series are a consequence of reading the tattoos. Right, you read the tattoos, and then with that episode, whatever, an hour or whatever, that whole episode was about one tattoo on her body. Right, so I'm saying that's a metaphor for what we're talking about. Sister, you are a sign. Your whole body is a sign, right? And when you go past the body and look at the nature that Allah has given you in your neurochemistry, your biochemistry, and the biological processes and the neurology that is the feminine neurology, because of the nature of your body and the nature of your role in the nature of life as it is right now, you are your own answer and you are critical to life becoming what it should be as intended by Allah, mashallah. But everybody has to figure out what's that tattoo. You get what I'm saying? It's an analogy. What does this part on your body mean? What does that part on your body mean? And how does that mean we should live in consequence of that? That's what we're talking about. All right. So inside of that, alam nasha. So you have the positive and negative. Okay. So now you go edification. Now you go down that road because it's the right road. You're still connected. Let's stick with Hansel and Gretel, right? So yeah, Hansel and Gretel, they had the breadcrumbs. I know where my breadcrumbs are. Ain't no birds behind me eating the breadcrumbs. I know where my breadcrumbs are. Edification, I know how I'm reasoning. I know what I'm reasoning from. I know how A got to B and how B got to C and how C gets to B and what's going to happen going forward. Okay, so holding on to that, so you have the positive from the negative. So now you start thinking about that. Okay, what is positive and negative about the woman? That's the natural question. Now, keep with me. The hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the intelligent question is half of knowledge. The most important thing is to know what your questions are. To know what, you don't need to worry about answers until you know what your questions are. Because if you don't ask the right question, you ain't going to get the right answer. So you have to ask the right question. And I just talked about ChatGPT, as I talked about Perplexity.ai. What's the power of those things? Who has the most power with those things? The one who can ask the best questions. That's what time we're in right now. It's a part of your religion, Muslim. It's a part of your religion from the Uswa of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be skilled at asking questions. When the angel Jibril, you know the hadith, the angel Jibril came as an unknown stranger, et cetera, et cetera. And after he left, and the prophet said, do you know who that was? He said, they said, Allah and his messenger knows best. He said, that was the angel Jibril. He came to teach you your religion. Okay, well, how did the angel Jibril teach them their religion? By asking questions. Right? And in the Western world mindset, that's called the Socratic method. The Socrates. All Socrates did was walk around asking questions. That's what got him killed too, mashallah. I'm just being a little facetious right there. I mean, that happened. But I'm saying, at least according to the history that we received. The point is, yeah, it is dangerous asking questions. Depending on the level that you're asking the questions at, but then also, there's no God but Allah, and nothing lives or dies except by the will of Allah, and we fear nothing but Allah. So don't be afraid to ask questions when it's appropriate to ask questions, but you're asking the right time, the right way, etc. Let's move on. So positive, negative. So what's the positive and negative in the woman? So that's what we have to look at. That's the next step. Come to your mind intuitively. So when you're in a sphere of looking at certain kind of knowledge, then intuitively, when you're in that world, then there are things, let's call it, there are things that are going to float by while you're pursuing a certain answer to a certain question. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Yeah, that happens. So those intuitions go, and this is what happened. Mashallah, this is yesterday. In preparation for the khutbah, he said, isn't there a principle in mathematics where negative times a negative is a positive? And so, again, I do the research, make sure, because it's been so long since that thought has ever come to mind. And mathematically, yeah, I think it's called the commutative law. Negative times a negative is a positive. I don't know why, but it is a rule, and it is a principle, negative times a negative. So the interaction, so there's a certain way that a negative can interact with a negative and get a positive. Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the woman. And we're not talking about the woman in a vacuum. We're talking about the woman in relationships, right? As you point out over here, the hadith talks about the womb, and then also the key cornerstone verse for us in relationships is Wattaqullaha wal arham, and be regardful of relationships, right? Mathematics is about relationships. So in any case, there's a positive, so a negative, times a negative in mathematics. But for us, we're just saying, is there a way that a negative can relate to a negative to be positive? Because now we're talking about human beings, right? So in the human world, what can we take away to that matches up with that mathematical principle, negative times a negative? So there must be a way that my negative can interact with her negative to bring about a positive. When you're in a world where you're looking for the truth of something, don't say, that can't be. Well, you're blocking. Stop blocking. And that's the so-called idea of being objective, right? The so-called idea of being objective means don't let your mind get in the way. Don't let your frame make an assumption that blocks another answer, because you're not used to thinking that way. I think the author's name is Arkun. Inside of his Muslim writing, where he says, the problem with the Muslim world is the unthought and the unthinkable, right? There's some things that Muslims have been conditioned not to even think about, right? So they haven't thought about it, and they find certain things unthinkable. And because of that, you get blocked from information. No, it could be that. Well, that's your problem. You know, it's like, stop blocking. Go down that road, as the imam tells us. Many times people leave this out of the imam's statement. He said, you have to have the courage to follow the logic to its conclusion. It takes courage. Some people are afraid to look at things in a certain way. Why? Why are you afraid to look at things in a certain way? Because somebody has put a fence around your mind to disable you from going where they don't want you to go. That's a problem. But alhamdulillah, now Muhammad set us free. By the grace of Allah, by the blessing of Allah, we inherited freedom of mind and thought. All right, moving on. So a negative times a negative is positive. Okay, now, staying with the grammar. So it's like, I'm not trying to answer that thing right now. But let's just stay with this slot right here when we talked about grammar, because this is what comes up as a key thing in this place and in this particular verse, the message of the positive and the negative and all that, right? Okay, so then the next thing is the idea of this, and this verb, when you understand the grammar of what's going on in this section, then you know that it's talking about the imperfect tense. I hope you're hearing that, man. I need to get into that grammar. Yes, you do. And we have great teachers and institutions in our associate that speak our fundamental language, who also speak the Arabic language, not as a social speech, but as academically, intellectually, technically, they know the Arabic. Okay, and they know the grammar, and they come from you. They come from where you come from, and they can speak to you in your language to help you understand Allah's language. Look for them if you don't know them. I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know them. If you don't, ask somebody. All right. So, where we at? Imperfect. Okay, so imperfect, right? And so I put imperfect world right there because the world is imperfect, is it not? But here's the other thing. So the two negatives, right? So I'm imperfect, she's imperfect. That's a fact. I'm imperfect, she's imperfect. The goal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for us to pursue perfection. The goal of the way that the Imam Muhammad explains that the reason that Allah did not perfect everything is because he wants us to perfect the world, right? Adam is given a job of, in the Bible, he's given a job of to keep the way of the garden, right? The Quran tells us, فِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذلك الدين قيما ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون صدق الله العظيم. The idea is that you've been given a nature, and your goal is to keep that nature in its form, and keeping it in its form while it also grows. So you're going from a state of imperfection, quote unquote, meaning you haven't reached the final attainment of what's possible for you. So to that, your perfection is a destiny, because when Allah created us, He created us with a possible destiny that would be perfect from His perspective, meaning that I made you perfect. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. He created a human being in the most excellent mold and structure. There's no better mold or structure for man to be in, but we are not yet there. وَنَفْسٌ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ causes it to grow, right? You have these positive possibilities, you have these negative possibilities, you have one potentiality conflicting with the other potentiality that you have to learn how to control and manage in order for you to make advance and progress. So you're battling with your quote-unquote imperfection so that you can realize, quote-unquote, the perfection that Allah. It's something that we aim at. Let me just throw you another word, asymptote. You have this asymptotic thing. It's so asymptotic, mathematical. It's like it's a point or a line that approaches a particular horizon, like something like zero or whatever, but it never gets there. But it keeps moving, but it never gets there. It's like new horizons. Like, you know, you travel around the world, there's always going to be another horizon, but you keep traveling, right? Same way with us and our aspiration to become better and better and better. You become better and better and better, but it's never final, it's never complete. And that's how you move from what we're calling that imperfection more and more and more towards perfection. And that's the nature of our life. That's the nature of that possibility. But one of the ways that happens is that the negative, you have to accept, you know, to be critiqued. You have to accept to be criticized. You have to accept to look in the mirror and see your imperfections and see where we, all of us, where we need to be improved, right? So here's what happens in speaking of relationships. There's the man will see something that's not perfect in the woman, or it's be a way or means or a place whereby she could be improved. And the woman sees a way by which the man can be improved. Now, so we both come into a, now we're in relationship. We both come into a relationship with her, and both of us have our imperfections. I mean, just literally, right? There's so many things that we can talk about, but let's just limit it to say, okay, she had parents, I had parents. She lived somewhere, I lived somewhere. None of where any of us lived in this world and time, especially for Bilalians, we were not in a perfect situation. We were not cultivated perfectly. Our parents didn't know what our perfection ultimately should be. And so therefore we were not nurtured with our perfection in mind. I'm sure, mashallah, Allahu A'lam, they did the best they could with what they had to work with, blah, blah. But the point is, when she comes out of her house and I come out of my house and then we come together with imperfections born out of the houses that we came out of, the societies we came out of, the communities we came out of. So each of us in our own imperfectness get together, right? And so then here comes the negative meeting the negative, right? Now, if both of us can recognize that we come to the party with imperfections, that is, both of us recognize our negatives, right? Now, that's the work that most people, I ain't got time for that, bye. You know, okay, that's fine. Next. And then when the next one comes, it's going to be the same. It don't change. Don't change. A little humor on the side, but, you know, it's like, it's funny, but it ain't no joke. You know, Johnny Taylor, a singer from this side, but I think we all heard that, you know, cheaper to keep her, in that sense that
It's like divorce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he himself, he says, the most hated halal. It's like, I'm not trying to, you know, poke anybody's stuff or whatever. It's reality. That's life. It happens. Okay, but you're still alive. All right? You're still alive, and there's still life in front of you. There's still time in front of you. Okay, that's something that happened. Okay, you got to do what you got to do in order to get, because that, as long as you're living, the possibility for the life that Allah has promised, it still exists. If you don't get swamped by the after effects of that tragic situation, Allah doesn't like it, quote unquote, any more than you do. He said it's the most hated halal. I allow it, but I don't like it. I hate it, in fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way the Prophet gave it to us. All right, so the point is, it doesn't matter. Negative meets a negative in that. Now, what's going to happen is, let's go to the next logical behavior. You see the verses here. I don't want to read that because you don't have enough time. I know it's going to take me too far afield to keep talking about it. Let's get this, some of these blocks. So these are some of the blocks that I didn't formally complete yesterday. So okay, therefore, what kind of behavior should we undertake? All right? I will say, in terms of those verses, Surah 4, Ayah 19, Surah 2, Ayah 216, both of those are the ones that talk about, it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. Okay, same way with divorce. You know, divorce is probably, you know, sometimes, it is said that divorce is not the problem. Sometimes divorce is the solution. Okay, well, that's it. Next. Because you still have a destiny that to be met. You still have a life that you want to have. It's like, so if you keep, the more you look back, the more you won't go forward. Just keep that in mind. It's real. You have to face it. You have to face it. So you can't solve a problem that you're not willing to face, right? But every problem that you face is not going to be solved, but you're not going to be able to solve a problem that you're not willing to face. I think that's James Baldwin. So, all right. So it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. I say, look, I already know you face some things that you're not going to like, but the things that you don't like, it may be that it brings about a great deal of good. And in the master verse of our existential situation, it says, he is the one who created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. So Allah, we are born into a space and a place and a time and an existence that is fraught with problems, that is fraught with negative forces, not for the purpose of there being negative forces, but for those forces to be a source of our further perfection. But it's a personal effort. It's like, you never will Allah change the grace he bestows upon the people until they change it themselves with what is in their own soul. It's not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you. That's reality. That's our Islamic life, right? It's like to try to make it be something else is to fail. It's like, okay, this is what God has done. This is how God has structured life. This is how God has structured me. And so therefore, I need to get God's guidance for, okay, how, God, should I be in this situation? And that's where the guidance comes from, right? So the logic of behavior in light of those things that we said is to recognize the role of the negative in bringing about the positive. Some of the things that immediately, like, look, seatbelts. Why do we have seatbelts? And then after so many years, now there are seatbelt laws, right? There were so many tragedies that happened in consequence. Disease. So many things happened that were tragic, negative, negative, negative. But then that negative brought about a positive change. And then that positive diminished that side of the negative. But now you have other things that are coming, which goes back to the usra yusra aspect of it. All right. So let's move on. So the disposition that we share, we already talked about arguing, fighting. I don't want to go into that again. I want to move on. So then what does it say? The next thing is to understand, because the goal is in our, you know, khutbah, inshallah, the goal is, okay, what should I do? How should I be? That's my object. My object is, okay, if you do this and if you take this particular disposition, that's going to be a source of improvement for whatever's going on, okay? And so in the verse that we started with, it says, and among his signs, and of his signs is that he created from you, for you, from yourselves mates, that you might find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, there are signs for people who grasp the thought. So, okay, so in light of, you know, her imperfection, my negative and her negative, how do I get the positive out of the negative? How do I do that? And understand that each one of us is the source of perfecting the other. That's when we work together in the way that we're supposed to work together, I'm going to be better and she's going to be better. That's the promise of God. One of the examples, the illustration that's used, if you take a stone and put it into an iron cylinder, you put it into an iron cylinder, and it's just a rough, raw stone that you just pick up and you put in it. Not dirt, I'm talking about a stone. So you put that stone in an iron cylinder and then put it in a machine that shakes it. What's going to happen in that shaking is that all the edges of that stone are going to be getting knocked off until there are no more edges to be knocked off. And when you take it out of that machine, finally, or that cylinder, finally, it's going to be perfectly round. It's going to be perfectly round. It's perfectly round because there are no more edges. How do the edges get taken up? By the shaking and by the knocking and by things getting chipped off. And so that's how it is. That's how it is sometimes. In actuality, emotionally and otherwise, when we relate to each other as men and women, yes. And there are times that we hurt each other. But if we can transcend and understand, and in some cases have them, and in most cases, wherever it fits, can't speak for everybody personally in your personal individual situation, but learning how to love, learning how to forgive, learning how to be merciful towards each other, learning how to acknowledge that behavior is coming out of an imperfection. Yes, and you have to guard yourself against thinking that you can fix everybody. You know, that's life. I can't tell you, you know, what to do in your individual personal situation, but you have to be conscious of your own potential for falling into, but I can save her, but I can save her. I don't know. Maybe you can. And maybe you should. I don't know. That's your life. The idea is that you have to recognize that in every relationship that there are going to be times and ways and situations where we hurt each other. Right, and where it hurts, right, and maybe that's just the nature of the imperfection coming up against another imperfection, and that if we can be merciful and forgiving and et cetera, maybe that's a rounding that's going to happen and an improvement going forward if we can get past it. I can't speak for you individually, so I'm saying that. The science, the metaphor, the analogy, the process is like what I described. In fact, in alchemy itself, without elaborating on it, not that I could in the fullest sense, but in alchemy, the idea of marriage is tied to one of those processes where you get locked into a situation, like the wedding vows, in effect, are like locking you into that iron cylinder. Right? And it's like, you just got to rough it out, tough it out. Yes, there are going to be arguments. But again, like I say, so if you can avoid fighting and then adjust to each other and, you know, recognize the negotiation and have these qualities, then each one of you is going to become, each one of us will become a bound spiritual unit in that way. But you can't get it without going through the heat and the problems that go along with it. It's like people, if you run away at the first sign, I'm being extreme in that matter, but I know some who have done that. The fact is, when you run the first sign, oh, this is too hard. Oh, it's not, oh, look. Okay, where are you going? Where are you going? Now, you got to deal with your personal situation. But I'm just saying, whoever makes that choice, okay, you run out of that, you're running to what? Things have to be worked out. Things have to be worked out. And that's where the guidance and the help of Allah is. Now, if prayer and religion is not in the life of both, I'm talking about Al-Islam. I'm talking about the practice of religion. I know couples who are married to non-Muslims, and everything's been fine for decades because that's the arrangement that they're satisfied with. Alhamdulillah, and that's what counts. He said, what is the state of your heart? What is your pleasure? What is your comfort? What is your level of relief in relationship to that person? That's what it's designed to do, marriage, done right. If it's doing that for you, alhamdulillah, you know, that whoever does it for with you, then you got the right one, like Ray Charles said. Ultimately, it's the Islamic ideals is calling for a particular destiny, a particular way that each works together under and in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's like some people are not the ultimate model, but they are examples of how peace can be attained even across quote-unquote religious lines. But I'm getting into too much other particular stuff over there. So in this right here, what is our disposition supposed to be in these closing minutes? So what are you supposed to do? Is that you may find tranquility in her. So you have to look for tranquility through applying what I'm talking about, right? And what does that require? It requires us recognizing and reconciling ourselves to the positive in the positive in the negative. I'm not saying positive and the negative. That's true, but I want you to understand it. The positive in the negative of both of us. All right, so since we're talking about the woman, I'll just key on the woman in this case. Men, we have our negative for sure, but a part of the sign and the symbol to be read on and from the woman is, I talked to you about ocean, right? Ocean, they call it the big five, right? Optimism, right? You have optimism, conscientiousness, extroversion. So I'm spelling the word ocean, O-C-E-A-N. Optimism, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. I'll say neuroticism. So men and women have a distribution in all of these. Openness. Did I say openness or said optimism? It should be openness, right? So you have openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism, I'll say. Okay. Men and women skew differently in all of these. Men and women have a different average way of being of openness. Men and women have an average difference, what they call a statistically different relationship between conscientiousness, and likewise with extroversion, and likewise with agreeableness, likewise with neurosis or neuroticism. All right, that's who we are. You can go online and find and take your own profile for that. To find out, you know, how do you scale out in all of those. But the fact is that women are more neurotic, really, and you've usually only heard this word in a negative way, a pathological, just like with ego. Most times when we hear ego, we're hearing it in a negative way, but it's not just a negative thing. The same way with being neurotic. Neurotic is being sensitive to the negative, sensitive to criticism, sensitive to threats. That women, the female, is more sensitive to those negative things, which means, therefore, it's like she'll react to things in and from that nature more so than man in general, right? Why? Because she's the mother of all living. Because she's mother of all living. So therefore, if she has the responsibility for the most vulnerable life and existence, and God has made that her post, he is the one who gave everything its form and thereafter its guidance. In the form is the guidance, right? So therefore, neurologically, hormonally, all of that, the bent is I have to be in protection mode by nature. So God has skewed the woman to be, all right, look, that's a threat. Look out for that. That's her thing. Because when she has the life in her hand, if you will, and God gave it to the woman first, then she got to do everything she's got to do in order to protect that child. So she has to be on constant alert. Talk about head on a swivel. She has to be on constant alert. That child can sneeze. It's like, man, she's on top of it, right? Cough, et cetera, whatever. So why? Because that's her job. That's her post by nature. All right, so it evolves also. It's always there. It's always present. So there's this that negative dimension of it. So I'm only going to take the time because I consider us being out of time right now. But I'll just finish this. So it's like recognize and reconcile ourselves to the positive in the negative of both of us. So I'm saying what men may not understand. As a general rule, we don't understand it until we've been taught or we studied or we learned it, that the negative that we experience from the woman is a natural part of her make. Allah made her in that proclivity. Yes, everything can go to extreme, but it's like that stone in the iron cylinder, right? Just like that needs to be, beating it out of her is totally, absolutely wrong, crazy, et cetera. It's like that's just a sign that the man, he has zero understanding of the woman. That's period. It's like you lose. When you start beating on a woman, you lost all your manhood. That's done. You couldn't deal with it. Okay? That's just what it is. All right. So just to stay on the man side of it, you have to recognize and reconcile ourselves to the positive in the negative of the woman. All right, let me just throw this bag out here. We're not gonna cover it, but it's coming. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says the woman is made from the rib, and the woman is made from the rib. To try to straighten her is to break her, right? We got a whole breakdown of that. We're not gonna talk about it today, but I'm saying the quote unquote positive understanding of that the Prophet has given us is that thing that you don't like about her, going back to the verses 4:19. That thing that you don't like about her, that particular bent, that bent, when he said he has a certain bent, that bent means orientation, disposition, a way, an inclination. Yes, she's inclined to the negative, but there's a reason why she's inclined to the negative. But there's also a way to get the positive out of the negative, and there's also a way to minimize the negative. If you be the man that you're supposed to be, you can minimize that, but you don't want to get rid of all of it, because if you get rid of all of it, well, you broke the system that's designed to help protect and grow and evolve you in ways that you can't evolve and grow yourself without a womb of mine, without a womb to help you get there. But do you think that you're going to be left alone on saying we believe and not be tried? Do you think you're going to enter paradise without being tried? The woman is your way to paradise. Paradise lies at the feet of mother. That's a woman, right? But you can't get it until you get the right key for the lock. Until you get the key for the lock, that treasure is locked up. I'm gonna go ahead and leave it right there for now. I know, just put a comma on it, and inshallah we'll get to it. with Allah's grace and help later. All right, so basically we're gonna go ahead and sign out. I'm gonna give my salams on our way out the door. Okay, Melvin got me. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Anthony. Alhamdulillah. Mahdi, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Adil, choice. Assalamu alaikum. Shreveport in the house. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi barakatuh. Your dad, leather. Alhamdulillah. So, mashallah, that's it for us today. May Allah have mercy on us, forgive us our shortcomings, and guide us near to the path, even in this. Everybody have a wonderful day. Allah's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.